Hi, I'm Dr. Akiva Down.
And I'm Rabbi Avi Green.
And welcome to Interesting Questions.
In this podcast, we'll be addressing issues that are philosophical, religious, and psychological in nature.
We will be focusing on that which is considered to be controversial, and there may not be a right or wrong answer. So we are hoping that our discussions will yield more questions for your Shabbos table.
Shavuot Tov, and welcome to Interesting Questions. We are up to the sixth perek of Pirkei Avot, but not really. And that's because Pirkei Avot really only has five chapters. However, in order to make it fit in the 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot, an additional chapter of Braitot were added. And Braitot are material from the Mishnaic time that were collected but were not redacted down into the Mishnah. They were actually left out of the Mishnah, so you might find them to be a little bit more wordy. And they are written in the same language as the Mishnah. And so the Mishnah actually, the book tells us this ahead of time. It says, Shanu chachamim bilshon ha-Mishnah. The sages taught, the rabbis taught, in the language of the Mishnah, Baruch shabachar behem uv'mishnatam. And blessed be those who choose them and their teachings. And so we begin with the sixth perek of Pirkei Avot, Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Kol ha'osek b'Torah, anyone who engages in Torah, lishma, for its own sake, zochel l'dvarim harbei, will merit many things. V'lo od, and not only that, ela shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hu lo. And not only that, however, the entire world, all of it, is worthwhile and available to him. Nikra rea, he is called a friend. Ahuv, and he is beloved. Ohevet hamakom, ohevet habriot, one who loves God and loves people. Misameach et hamakom, misameach et habriot, and he gladdens God and he gladdens people. Umalbashto anava v'ira, and he is dressed in humility and fear of God. Umachsharto lihiyot tzadik, and he is fit to be a righteous person, chassid, devout, yashar, upright, v'ne'eman, and faithful. Umirachakto min hachet, and it will distance him from sin. Umikarvato lidei zechut, and bring him close to merit. V'nehanin mimenu etza v'tushia, and people will enjoy his advice and his wisdom. Bina ugvura, understanding and strength, shene'amar, that it says, li etza v'tushia, ani vina li gvura. With me there is counsel and wisdom, I am understanding, and with me is strength. V'notenet lo machut, and the Torah gives him the title of kingship, umemshala v'chikur din, and dominion and analysis of judgment. Megalin lo razei Torah, and the secrets of the Torah are revealed to him. V'na'ase kema'ayan hamitgaber, and he becomes like a wellspring that flows even stronger, uchenahar she'eno posek, and like a river that never ceases. V'hovet sanua, and he becomes a modest person, ve'erech ruach, and one of patient spirit, umochel al elbono, and forgiving of those who insult against him, umigedalto, and it makes him great, umromamto al kol hamaasim, and exalts him above all his actions. So Akiva, this is quite a list of all of these things happening to this person. I won't say simply because he engaged in Torah study for its own sake, but when he engages in Torah study for its own sake. And from your understanding, would you say these things are connected? Or does one lead, in other words, does one lead to the other, or are we looking at something where there is a primary source that then leads to each of these individually?
Avi, if I understood you correctly, I think that you're basically asking if they're connected in one way or connected in another. So the answer to that is yes. And I do believe, though, that the idea that this is trying to convey and... I think it's a lot of words. I think it's rather wordy. At the same time, it sounds like a lot. And in some ways, yes, of course it is. But the basic principles, the basic things that this is suggesting is not a lot. And I think that one definitely not only leads to the other, but also prevents the other. So for example, I think that if you are becoming... and continuing to be a Talmud Torah, then, of course, it's very reasonable to say, you know what, makes God happy, and it makes people happy. And why does it make God happy, and why does it make people happy? Well, because as you study Torah and you learn Torah, it makes you more mindful of what you do, more thoughtful. It teaches you about how to behave and how not to behave, which is really what we hear in the next many paragraphs. Learning Torah and becoming aware of and learning to think in the way that Torah teaches you to think, right? Because as you become more involved in Torah study, then we see so many different kashas that were brought up by different chachamim and how they worked through them and how they figured them out. And when you start to think in those terms, then it makes a good bit of sense that you learn critical thinking, and therefore you have ability to provide counsel, and you have wisdom and understanding. And so I think that in many ways, this is the natural evolution of what happens when you become a Talmud Torah, and when you continue to be a Talmud Torah, because another thing that we learn, very simply, once you do it for more than a year, right, you realize that if nothing else, you start learning the same thing over again. Even if you don't go into the depths of other things, you go into the depths of the same thing, which teaches us the fundamental basic of there's always more to learn and there's always more to be figuring out, which, of course, teaches humility. Despite all of this excess knowledge, not excess, all of this influx of knowledge and understanding and continued growth, one brings about the other. I guess... one of the things that I would ask you, Avi, is this idea of learning Torah for the sake of just learning Torah. Why is, if you are learning Torah for the sake of all of these other amazing things, because you want to be a good person, because you want to become more fit and make people happy and learn how to be provide fair and appropriate critically thought out counsel and have wisdom. If you're learning with that in mind, it almost reads that this is not the goal or the best goal. And I guess I kind of have a hard time hearing and understanding why that's not a good thing to do it for, because you're still reaching the same points, you're still doing the same tasks, and you're not doing it for the sake of evil. You're doing it for the sake of, okay, so you know what, I want to be a better person. I want to learn more. I want to be more patient, more kind, more appropriate. I want to make God happy. I want to make people happy. That doesn't sound so bad. Is there a fundamental negative that is with doing that with the goal as the goal?
I think the concern when you have a goal is that we are impatient people, and therefore, if you go in with the goal of accomplishing a very specific task, then we are by our nature impatient to a certain extent, and we go, so when am I going to get to that task? Or once I've reached that goal, I'm done. As opposed to saying, wait a minute, if I come, and to use a cliche phrase, right, it's not the destination, but the journey. and I appreciate the journey as it happens, then suddenly I find that as I've moved closer and closer, I've reached some of these goals, right? And if we take that analogy to an extreme, right? If the goal is to drive from point A to point B, then when there's traffic or when there's something that happens or the fact that it takes you longer, it can be frustrating. Whereas if the goal is the journey, then it can be enjoyable just to be in the car and see what's happening and listen to the music and have that experience as you go along. And so I think here there is a similarity to that in the sense that if my goal is to sit and learn and to grow and to become a better person, then I may find ways that I expected that that will happen and unexpected ways that that will happen. Whereas if I'm singularly focused on accomplishing something, then if it doesn't come fast enough, I'm frustrated. And all of the other side advantages don't necessarily provide me with any kind of benefit or worth, because I don't see them as beneficial, mostly because at the end of the day, I didn't want them. I wanted something else that I haven't yet reached. And so I think the idea is all of these things are good. They don't all come at the same time. And I was thinking some of what you said as well, Akiva, in terms of the idea being that as you continue to learn, right, it makes you humble because you realize how much there is you don't yet understand. And it allows you to give counsel because you've both learned much and seen much. And so all of those components can be part of what provide us with these attributes.
Okay, so Avi, taking this along, this idea that, you know, if you do these things, then you will be able to have all of these other pieces come into your life. We know that it's not necessarily the case always that somebody who is a Talmud Torah, Chacham, will have all of these wonderful attributes. What could skew them, I suppose, if they really are just learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah? What could it be that then lends themselves to having sometimes not behaviors that are acceptable or appropriate according to this?
So I think, you know, if we look at the Mishnah, it says it makes one fit for becoming a tzaddik, a chassid, a yashar, a ne'eman, right? And distancing him from sin. In other words, it sets him up with the prerequisites for it. But that doesn't mean that the person doesn't have to have certain other qualities. We might argue that the person also needs certain natural character traits or learned character traits that are also part of being a leader or being a tzaddik or a chassid, right? Having patience is one of those components. Having leadership ability can be one of those components, right? Having an emotional understanding of what other people need can be one of those components. And so I think that saying Torah is a prerequisite and Torah provides a path, but just like many other forms of education, if you choose to ignore what you learn, or if you choose to, or if you don't have a natural inclination towards applying what you've learned, then you may find that it is not taking you on the journey that you would hope, or that you would, or that others might hope.
So, okay, and that's in that same light, you know, we just talked about how we learn for the sake of learning, and we shouldn't necessarily have, I'll reach this goal by this time and this goal by this time, which, okay, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree. I think that if we only pay attention for one aspect, then we will miss all the other wonderful opportunities along the way. And at the same time, just recently we finished a Mishnah that said, and you will begin learning scripture at 10, and Mishnah at 13, Mishnah at 10, scripture at 5, take on the mitzvot at 13, and learning Gemara at 15. So, at the same time as saying, or not at the same time, because I'm sure these were written at different times. However, in really juxtaposed next to each other, which is probably meaningful in and of itself, is this idea of these benchmarks, but you should learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah, and don't have any particular goals in mind other than learning Torah, because if you do it, then if you have X, Y, and Z prerequisites, which we won't even get into, what if you don't? Because I think that's a much longer conversation, perhaps for another day. But if you do, then you will become fit to have this, 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 and this, and this. And by the way, when you're 18, you should get married. So have enough of this good stuff, ideally, so that you can bring it into a marriage, and then by 20, bring it into a trade. So it's very interesting to combine and have juxtaposition of this scaffolding on one end, and yet right after that, this idea of go enjoy the journey.
So in education, we refer to one as the curriculum, meaning what do you learn when, and the other as the outcomes, right? What do we want our students to get out of what they've learned? So, yeah, at 5, we start teaching Torah. And there can be a whole list of things that we want our students to learn and get out of Torah. And usually we talk about those as being areas of content. In other words, I want my students to know who was Avram Avinu, who was Yitzchak Avinu, who was Sarah Imenu, right? What happened to Yosef with his brothers? That's content. Then there's skills. I want them to be able to read a pasuk. I want them to be able to understand the pasuk. I want them to be able to take those psukim and ask questions about them the way the mefarshim might, and then dive into the mefarshim and try to understand the answers that they give to both the questions that my students found and some of the questions they didn't find, right? And then there's the last piece, which are the values. There are values that I want my students to learn from Torah and to internalize, whether it's the idea of love of Hashem or belief in the promises that Hashem makes to us, whether it is belief in oneself or the idea that there are things worth sacrificing for as a Jewish person, right? All of those are values that can come out of the stories in Torah, in Tanakh. When we move to Mishnah, the same may be true. There's new content, there is new skills, and there is new values that I want them to learn. And the same thing at 15 when they get to Gemara, and so on and so forth. And so I think that we can say, here's the curriculum, here's the material that they begin learning at each of these ages. But in terms of the values, and then we go back to the idea that yes, even after I've learned, you know, Torah from 5 till 10 years old, it doesn't mean I stop learning it. It means after 5 years, I hopefully have enough fluency and awareness of Torah that I can begin to move into the next level. But it doesn't mean I stop learning Torah, and therefore I'm going to continue to find those content components, hopefully at a deeper level. I'm going to continue finding skills. I'm going to continue finding values, because my lens on the world is going to change, and my, at least in the system we have now, the teacher that we have, right, is going to change, and therefore hopefully provide me with new insights into the learning. And so I think that we can say, yes, while these two are juxtaposed, one is dealing with the content, or I should say the chomer, the material, the curriculum that we're going to teach, and the other one deals specifically with the idea of what is the ideal outcome from these.
I like that, Avi. However, this Brisa, Mishnah, whatever appropriate term we are giving it, does not just provide with the idea of having values achieved and gained, because it also provides with having understanding, having wisdom, having the ability to provide counsel. And those are things that, while we may learn to value them and to therefore be mindful of when and where and how to give them, these are fairly socially defined intangibles. Right? The ability to provide counsel
is a skill.
Yes.
So I would say it's an advanced skill, and it's one of those skills that you can only develop after you've done a significant amount of learning. And, you know, here we can define whether we're talking about Torah with a capital T, and we're talking about just the five, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the five books of Moses, whether we're talking about Tanakh, or whether we're talking about Torah in its entirety, meaning everything that is made up of learning, so that it includes Torah, Mishnah, Gemara, Mefarshim, right? Everything that is the broadest sense of Torah, maybe even including things like the study of the natural world and mathematics, for those of us who believe in Torah Umada. And so this idea of giving counsel is a skill, right? It's a skill we read about when we learn that Moshe is giving laws and advice to the people. And his father-in-law comes and says, you're doing a disservice to yourself and the people when you don't have a tiered system to give the advice, right? We learn about it when you have Nevi'im that sit by the gate of the city and people would come and ask them questions, sometimes questions of law, but sometimes questions of advice. Even till today, where I think if you talked to a number of rabbis, those who are in the pulpit, you will find that the number of times they get phone calls about halachic questions is somewhat limited and minute in comparison to the number of times people call because they need counseling or they need advice. And it may connect to Jewish ideas and Jewish values, but I think that it is more likely that they're calling because they believe the rabbi to be a wise person, a straightforward person, a person who will put their best interests in front of his or her own. And therefore, at the end of the day, it is that they are respecting that person's Torah knowledge and the study of the world that has come with that.
And something generally not to be achieved before the age of 50, according to the last Mishnah.
It may be, right? I think that having recently reached that milestone, there is a certain age where, without additional professional training, all respect given, one may not feel comfortable giving advice until they've reached a certain level of experience, right? until they feel like, ah, I have moved in my life from a place where I need advice to where I can give advice. And when that is the case, so again, it's not a destination. How soon can I give advice? How much can I learn before I start giving advice? Right? At one point, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, how do you become the posek hador, the person that everyone goes to with their questions? And his response was, I don't know. People just started coming and asking me things, and I was answering them. And so it wasn't that he set himself up and put out a shingle as the posek hador. It was that people recognized his ability to give halachic advice and sound leadership advice and sound personal advice. And so they would go to him and ask him their questions. And so I think similarly here too, there is a certain point where people recognize that, so-and-so is an elder in our community who is wise and experienced. Let us go ask them.
So I think that brings us to our question around the Shabbos table. And so here's the question. Do you think that it's more about the journey, or is it the destination? And more than likely, how do you balance between those two? Because I don't think it's necessarily, and I think what we're seeing with this discussion is that it's not just about the journey, just like it's not just about the destination. Both have their merits, both have their values, and many of us have to figure out what detours and pit stops we're going to make along the way. And what are those for you? How do you determine in what area you choose to focus on, I need to reach this goal and I need to achieve this, versus paying attention to, I don't want to miss anything along the way?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to reach us, you can reach us at iqdiscuss@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and responding.